Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness. You guys already know what to do. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at ALPA underscore QB1. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at ALPA underscore QB1. And make sure you go to Facebook and hit that like button, a little pocket awareness. If you're listening to this iTunes, hit that subscribe button, please. Then go ahead and hit the download on Spotify. And then make sure you follow me and Chris on Twitter at King Manellos for Chris and at the Mark John NFL for me. So Chris's week was better than mine. Let's say that. fandom.
Yeah.
Instead of quarterback play.
You could say that.
Yeah, but a lot of interesting things happened this week. I mean, the NFL is kind of just up in the air. Nobody really knows what's happening this year. It's kind of just, I don't know who the great team is this year. Let's just say that. I don't know if there is one, which might make it more fun. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a toss up. All right. So we're going to talk about some of these teams that are coming up. Right. And then we're going to talk about, you know, some of the teams that are falling, you know, like the Chargers, you know, we're probably going to do a lot of gloating with the Chargers a little bit, but it's early. We might gloat a little bit. We're not going to gloat too much on you guys. All right. We're not going to gloat too much on you. Just a little bit with that one. Just a little bit.
Okay? Just a reminder of the conversations that have been had.
Yeah. That's all. Nothing too crazy with that one. And then we're going to talk a little Mac Jones, right? Mac. And then of course we're going to talk about Baker, his game, his, you know, the difference between, I know, playing a great defensive mind and then playing the Bengals. And also, you know, really hit what the hell is wrong with the Bucks? They've lost two in a row. So there's no good teams right now. I mean, and we got Stafford, that too. And then
that was quite the showing.
Yeah, man. That's two ugly ones for him in a row. I mean, 49er fans probably think they're going to the playoffs now. So every time he loses, I gotta make that joke. I'm sorry, because this team is too good. They just kill like bad teams right now. That's basically what they do. They just kill bad teams. And they got Jacksonville up this week, so I'm sure they'll go out there and beat them 45-8 or something like that. And everybody's
no, they'll think they're so good. They'll let Jacksonville sneak their way into this one, and they'll be like, "What's going on?"
That would be crazy. That would be bad. That would
be total debacle.
Total debacle over there. All right, Chris. So, like I said, you had a great week. You know, I mean, your offense didn't like look spectacular.
Well, you know, I mean, it was
legit over there, huh? Looks legit.
It was a little up and down. Defense is looking good despite not having Jair out there, despite not having Z out there. Mm-hmm. We lost Merciless to a bicep injury. Rashad Gary's got a hyperextended elbow. He's going to put a brace on it. He he doesn't have to, it's not his year being over, so that's a good thing. We'll see how that works out for the defense moving forward. Aaron Jones is out. We got lucky there. It's only going to be 1 to 2 weeks where he's not playing. But A.J. Dillon putting the team on his back. The more that the season goes on, the longer that this roster sticks around, the less time I'm upset about the first two picks with Gutenkutz's first draft that he had there. Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon not looking too shabby with his first two picks in that draft. So I'm feeling all right. Aaron Rodgers knocking off some rust. I'll take everybody thinking very low thoughts about the Green Bay Packers at 8-2. Let's go for that one seed, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's up for the grabs for the Packers for sure. I mean, they are 8-2, right? And I mean, the Cardinals are without Kyler Murray, and who knows if Kyler Murray's. I mean, Kyler Murray must be really hurt if he's not playing. So
that ankle, man, it was right after the Packer game too. That ankle's in bad shape.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. He must be in really bad shape over there if he can't play. Because to me, if a quarterback's not playing, he must be really hurt, or you know,
well, I think your teammates are looking at you funny. Protect him. I think they're trying to protect him.
Yeah, but you know, I think teammates will start looking at you a little funny if you're not playing too much when you're a quarterback and you're not like hurt, like because quarterbacks play hurt, dog. Yeah, I mean that's what they do.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Even in a dumb situation where they shouldn't be playing, they're gonna go out there like their arm hanging off their left shoulder and they're trying to go play. But go ahead.
He's not one of those guys though. Not to say that he can't do it. He's just he needs his legs. He's not the same quarterback. He's not a pocket guy.
Yeah, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he can't see over his line, man.
Like Russell Wilson was super gun shy. Like people are making fun of him on Twitter. All the Seahawks guys are like, you know, going in on him. And it's probably because he
looked awful.
You know why? It's probably because his finger is not healed. And he's a crazy person and he's a quarterback and he just can't. He can't that competitive, you know, nature in a quarterback. They just don't want to sit. And that's why I was saying, like, when a quarterback, like, sits for, like, 2 weeks, you know, like they had to have, like, a mental, like, situation with Dak Prescott to tell him not to play. Like, they had to have a conference to convince him that you can't play. Marcus, and that's kind of, I don't know.
Kyler can't play without his legs, plain and simple. He is not an effective quarterback without his legs. I haven't seen it. I don't believe it. I know that he likes to hang into the pocket a little while longer. He's not that Johnny Manziel. He's got to bail to make a play. He can make plays from a pocket, but he can't live in the pocket. He'll get killed out there.
Yeah, I look at it this way. I will say, like, you know, Russell Wilson, I think it was like 2017 or something like that. He sprained his ankle like the first game of the season. And he kept playing, bro. Like that, I don't know. It's just like a sprained ankle for a quarterback. it's not an injury. That's just it. I don't know. Like, what is Kyler's injury?
It's an ankle injury.
What is it though? Is it a sprain?
I don't know. I don't know if they've I don't know that they've actually come out and said it. But I'm telling you, man. Like, I think the difference between Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray is. On a sprained ankle, Russell Wilson can roll out of the pocket and make a throw before he gets to the line of scrimmage. Kyler Murray, he does so much. He cuts way too hard. He's making a lot of moves that are not safe on the head and a hurt ankle. I'm sorry. I don't think he can play like Russ can on a hurt ankle. It's two different types of players on those ankles. Michael Vick, once his ankle started to go, his career started to go with it. So
yeah, but I just don't know, man. I don't get it. I don't get how you can do that. So yeah, it's a sprained ankle.
Yeah, I don't think he's capable.
We're getting too side ready here. Red ankle, so let's keep it moving. But anyways, Russ, you know he struggled too, but I can't just get over.
He's
I can't
out,
get over
out for so.
I just can't get over a quarterback that's not playing with a sprained ankle. I just feel like I don't know. I just feel like his locker room might be looking at him just a little funny. So I'm saying
I don't think he's the same guy. I really don't think he's the same guy. And I think the coaches know it, and the GM knows it. He's just when he can't be effective running the ball. He's not what they need him to be in that offense.
Carson Wentz had two.
Bro, Carson Wentz never tried to run. So when he got sprained ankles, they didn't know that they were sprained.
Carson Wentz runs. He runs, tries to like take somebody out and then separates his shoulder. That's what he does. You don't want him running because he thinks he's a running back. You know what I mean? Like he thinks
doesn't run like Kyler Murray, man. No, he doesn't run like Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler's gonna try to find the out of bounds as much as. No, Wentz is going to try to, you know, he's trying to make a highlight. He's going to try to.
Yeah, that's more accurate.
It tears ACL or something. Ruin the whole season. All right. What else? Let's, you know, my Raiders.
Well, your Raiders. Yeah. They're not good. Not ideal.
I'm not going to say the Raiders aren't good. I think they just got to. They got buzzsawed. Because they got buzzsawed because Patrick Mahomes decided to play quarterback this week. So.
Yeah, but see, also, I'm gonna don't get me wrong. Patrick Mahomes threw 400 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet. One of those touchdowns should have been an interception, and there was another ball downfield that was basically dropped by a defender. So four touchdowns and two interceptions is still not a bad game, but it's still two interceptions changes momentum at different points of the game. Those turnovers that he was getting all season long didn't happen against the Raiders. It looked more like last season and the year before when he was leading the league in most dropped interceptions. So, I mean, things went back to normal for Kansas City, but don't pretend like he's still not making throws that aren't bad. There's still bad throws out there. It's just it went his way this time.
If Casey Hayward picks off that pass, man, it's 17-14 and the Raiders take the lead, or at least tie, a different game. And it's DeSean a completely Jackson different game. Didn't ruin one of the best Derek Carr throws I've ever seen, which I'm still mad about him that he ruined that with this.
I don't know what he was doing.
Like,
I don't think he knows.
That would have been all over TV. Like, that throw was crazy. And now we don't even talk about how great the throw was. It was literally 35 yards on a line, anticipated. He threw it like he was on like the opposite hash, and then he threw it to like nuts. He ruined it.
Yeah, that turnover was bad.
Oh my God. That was the game, man. It was embarrassing because they couldn't stop. The Raiders couldn't stop Travis Kelce, which everybody else in the NFL could. So that pissed me off too. The whole game made me mad because I was like, so everybody else in the NFL can stop Travis Kelce, but we can't? Like, what is. Like, now he's running great routes. Like, I watched like four games of them and he couldn't get open at all. People just bullying him off the line. He's getting pushed back. He's dropping passes. The Packers just abused him too off the line. He couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Raiders. Oh, no. Travis. Like, is this what happened that game? Like, that's the game. That game was crazy. The Raiders just have trouble inside. And then Derek Carr got into hero ball mode again. And, you know, Raider fans get all mad. You know, they want a quarterback with a competitive fire until he refuses to take a sack and throws it, chucks it up in the air. Then it's like, oh, dude, no.
Yeah.
Not that type of fire. That's competitive fire, dog.
Yeah.
That's Carson Wentz throwing it left-handed, falling in the end zone. That's competitive fire. That's what that is, guys. He doesn't want to – he's like, no, somebody make a play for me. Like, it's always like in slow motion, like it's a movie. That's what those guys, those type of players, that's how they play. Like, Carson Wentz is going to save the day, throwing it left-handed, taking the sack. Somebody's going to catch it. They're going to, like, run and, like, run for a 96-yard touchdown. Like, no, Carson, it's not going to happen. That's what Derek Carr did. And don't do it to Zay Jones. You know? Like, if you're going to throw it up, if you're just going to toss it in the air. Because Zay Jones, like, he overruns it, too. Like, bro, how do you leave your quarterback out to dry like that? Like, imagine when Eli threw it up, if David Tyree overran it. When he just threw it up in the air, David Tyree misjudged the football, and then Rodney Harrison just had to fall right to him. Like, I was like, man, how do you leave your quarterback out to dry like that, bro? That's terrible. And Brian Edwards, Brian Edwards just like watched it for a second. Maybe he couldn't believe that Carr threw it. I don't know. Maybe he could, but like, bro, the ball's in the air. You can go get it. Like, you're like right there. He like watched it. He literally watched it first. He watched it for a second. He was like, wait a second. And he started running. I was like, bro, both of y'all are crazy. He's like, Kyler Murray does it. DeAndre Hopkins, he like makes a move and like catches it.
He double moves the rookie corner. And leaves him in the dust. Yeah, that's true.
But that's what I'm saying. When you do, maybe you shouldn't do that to Zay Jones. That's what I'm saying. Maybe don't trust Zay Jones like that. He's not elite. Like, he's not elite. I mean, if you have an elite player or somebody, or David Tyree, I guess, because if Eli was throwing to Zay Jones, man, the Patriots are the greatest team of all time. So I gotta say.
Yeah.
Zay Jones definitely did not play center field. He definitely did not play baseball at all. That's for sure.
No. Yeah, I do want to bring up one thing that I didn't mention. You talking about Packers bullying Travis Kelce. They bullied DK Metcalf to the point where he got himself kicked out of the game and tried to come back in anyway. Do you see that?
No, I did not see that, bro.
He got ejected from the game for pulling on three different guys' face masks after one play. Like, there was almost a fight in the midfield. He got ejected. They ran a play, and then he tried to come back in. He was literally standing in the huddle.
Yeah.
And the refs had to, like, stop the the game to be like, dude, you got kicked out. Get out of here.
Okay. Wow, man. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, everybody is happy about the Packers, but I didn't watch the Packers game because it was like 3-0 in the fourth quarter. I was like, what is going on?
It was not pretty. The offenses were not playing very well.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Not
all right. Does this scare you a little bit? I mean,
The Packers were moving the ball. They couldn't, when they got into the red zone, they couldn't do anything. What does scare me is Mason Crosby's missing more field goals again. Oh, that scares me a little bit.
Is that what happened? He's missing a bunch of field goals.
He missed one early in the game. And then Aaron Rodgers threw up an uncharacteristic just jump ball in the end zone. Like, I don't know when he started doing this. That's the second time this year where he just kind of chucked the ball in the middle of the field while he was getting hit. I don't know where that came from. But
these quarterbacks, man, they think they're heroes. They literally, like, bro, just take us. It's okay. Just take the sack. It's all right, man. You don't have to save the day. It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Raiders were going to lose. I mean, even if you scored on the drive, the Raiders were going to lose 41-30. It wasn't like this. It's going to be more respectable. I mean, they were losing that game. I mean, they couldn't stop the Chiefs. Also, the Raiders didn't play how other teams were playing them. So, I mean, that's really why the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, you only had 13 defensive plays with the two high look. I'm pretty sure two high has been killing them all season long. But you decided to go 13 plays.
I mean, at least do what the Titans did, which is, hey, ever do show two high? Oh, no, it's not. It's cover three. Oh, show, no. Cover three. Oh no, it's to cover two. Like, that's what you have to do, bro. If you don't do that, then, you know, he's gonna pick you apart. He's like, he's an elite quarterback. Like, what are we doing here? All right, let's get to these some.
Yeah, let's get into the actual conversations here and not tangent anymore.
Yeah. and also, I can feel better about this because I can make fun of the Chargers here. So I'm gonna feel better about this. You know, the losses. The Chargers. After starting 4-1 and, you know, Justin Herbert being the greatest quarterback to ever live.
King.
He was the king of everything. He was the next superstar. The next ready-made guy. You know, is he better than Patrick Mahomes already? And, you know, they're 5-4 now. So, they lost to Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. You know, Kirk Cousins is playing pretty well. He's having a good year.
Go ahead, get to ripping the Chargers.
It does have a good year, man. I know. All right, so Justin Herbert, he's 24-30 for 195 yards and 5.7 YPA against the Vikings defense, which, you know,
not an elite defense this year.
I don't know what their, you know, what is the, I mean, their overall ranking, but I mean, he definitely, you know, they usually don't give up to a quarterback that's elite like Matthews to like Justin Herbert a 5.7 YPA, you know what I mean? So yeah, man, and it's just funny to me, the funny thing about Justin Herbert though, which is so funny. And it's like, can we just admit what he is? Like, that's kind of like my problem with it is, you know, people are like writing articles, you know, trying to kill Joe Lombardi. Joe Lombardi, he's ruining Justin Herbert. Like, why are you throwing short passes when he has a cannon? Like, why are you doing this? Like, nobody would do this. Like, this is like what are we doing? Like, he has a big arm. Why aren't you throwing downfield? Right? Why aren't you calling plays as a downfield? And like, maybe you guys think Brandon Staley's a genius. Maybe Brandon Staley sees what, you know, I saw, which I hate saying that, but he kind of just has a tendency to throw short, and he's very accurate short. And once he gets to past 10 to 20, it gets a little weird, you know? And I think that's the problem, you know? The disconnect here that I think a lot of people are missing. They're trying to force him to be something that they want him to be at this point. And maybe it's just trying to kind of time to say what he is, but who knows? I mean, it's early. you know, he could bounce back. But to me, I mean, he sets the same low average depth of target he had the year before. His YPA is around the same area. He's throwing interceptions, I mean, kind of the same rate, probably at a higher rate. I mean, right now, I think.
I think he's throwing at a higher rate.
He's throwing at a higher rate. I mean, he's still throwing a lot of touchdowns. He's still throwing for a lot of yards on a lot of passes.
He's still throwing a lot in general.
Yeah.
The ball is always being thrown.
Right. And I made the case when I was doing the countdown of the top 29 quarterbacks, or whatever we did during over the summer. When I did that, I made the case that he looks like a quarterback that kind of already plateaued a little bit. And I don't know how much better he's going to get. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think we're seeing that, I mean, he's a good quarterback, but I think people are trying to put him in a box that he really isn't. Like, he's a good quarterback. He's going to play kind of like how Derek Carr plays. So if you don't like how Derek Carr plays, then sometimes the way Justin Herbert plays is not going to excite you, because he kind of has that same mindset mentality. If he's getting blitzed, he's going to get rid of the football. And it might be a 1 yard loss because he's going to get rid of the football to whoever he wants to. So I don't know, man. It's more just he is what he is. And I mean, you guys would try to make, I don't know, maybe you get him like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. Is there a speedster in the draft coming out? I don't know. Maybe they should have signed DeSean Jackson or something. I don't know.
Well, no, I don't think it's about, they got Mike Williams to take the top off the defense. Like, the guy, you just throw the ball up to him.
Yeah.
He's the throw the ball up to guy. He'll go get it. That's what you got him for downfield. Like, he's seeing a lot more passes in the short side of the field than he has in the past. But I mean, we've said it for a few weeks now, Marcus. They're going to play it short. They're not going to stretch the field on you. You want to sit there in too high, let everything play in front of you, and then rally to the ball. You're playing into the defense's hand by continuing to play the offense the way that you are. They don't run the ball particularly well. So it's not like you're making the defenses have to be exotic to try and stop your offense. They got to work hard to get to the end zone.
Yeah. And I mean, they blitzed 14 times. So he had 14 dropbacks. He got sacked twice on the blitzes. He was 2 for 7 under pressure. So, I mean, everybody talks about how great under pressure he was. Last year, but that's pressure's a flimsy stat. And this year, he's not good under pressure. So,
law of averages,
especially with pressure. I mean, pressure is not the you know, somebody has, oh, he's so great with his pressure, you know, 1 year, and then the next year, he's not. That's
part of it. We need more than 2 years to find out if he's good with pressure.
Yeah. Because last year, I mean, everybody's like, it was a historic year under pressure, you know, and now, you know, it's back to normal. He's back to a normal under pressure guy. You know what I mean? And he's got pretty, he's like 76 passer rating, you know, type of thing. And, you know, and the whole, like, people acting like he's like this scramble guy too. I think that's hilarious. People act like he's like this huge, like, runner. He has all these rushing yards. It's like the view of him to me is just always hilarious to me. It's just like, I don't understand like why people think that he's like the greatest thing ever. And he's just a good quarterback. Just say what he is. I mean, does he have a chance to become elite? I mean, I don't know.
Sure,
I say no.
Sure. He's got a chance.
I'm sure.
He's got a chance.
An elite season? Yes. That's what I'll say. Elite for years? I don't know about that. That's all I'm going to say.
No,
because I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks. There's a lot of quarterbacks that can have elite seasons, you know? Like, let's say, you know, even
Josh Allen, one elite season.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's true. One elite season, right? But putting the multiple together is when you become an elite quarterback. So, I mean, people throw around the word elite too much to me. Like,
agreed.
There's like,
I agree.
There's literally like four of them. Like, literally. I mean, and now Russell is even more in question now. You know, like Russ is like, is Russ still elite? You know, that's the question you ask. So, I mean, just there, I mean, the people are just trying to rush to put Herbert in there just because he has a huge arm, he can run, and they're all wrong. And for some reason, they want to like revert, they refuse, instead of like how people do with Josh Allen, which is, you know, they go back to how what they thought about him in the draft process. Now these guys are like trying to like hold on to thinking he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I tell you guys shouldn't have, you had all those takes week one in Washington. Oh my God, look at this cover two hole shot. Oh my God, he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. And then we found out Washington's defense not even good. So, you know, it's like, now you guys can't backtrack. Now you're trying to say it's Joe Lombardi's fault. He's holding them back. Yeah, whatever, man. Whatever, dude. Anyways. I don't know. It's just to me, the narrative around him. Like, if he had it. If Brandon Staley's a genius and he brings in Joe Lombardi, maybe it's for a reason. That's all I am saying. So is he a genius or not? I say he's a genius, but he picked Joe Lombardi.
We'll see.
All right, we'll see. On the flip side, I mean, you don't want to give Kirk Cousins no props, man. But Kirk Cousins is having a good year, bro.
I'm not going to say anything.
He's having his Kirk best Cousins. Year of you know of the Kirk Cousins years. Okay,
Marcus. Marcus, are the Vikings in the playoff conversation?
They are, aren't they? Aren't they in the seventh spot? Who's in the seventh
spot?
Are
they? I don't know. They're in the seventh spot. I thought, well, it was Atlanta until this week.
Exactly. NFC playoff picture. You know what I'm saying? Let's go ahead and check this out.
Don't put the Vikings in that. I don't think they're there. I think it's Carolina over.
It might be Carolina over them. But I don't think so. I think it might be the Vikings. Yes, it's the Vikings.
Don't do it to me.
Hold on.
What's their record? Are they even at 500?
They're 4-5.
They're not even at 500, Marcus.
It doesn't matter.
I'm not having a conversation. Yeah, it matters. You're going to talk about Kirk Cousins having his best year ever and they're 4-5.
They don't have a good defense over there.
They're 4-5, and they got Justin Jefferson and
you're right. It's the Panthers.
Sorry. Adam Thielen.
It's the Panthers, but yeah. they're the next up. The Panthers just have played more games. They're 5-5.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm not having a conversation about the Vikings when they're under 500 and not in the playoffs. Not doing it. Not doing it. Not talking about Kirk Cousins having the best year of his career and his team can't even be over 500. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Yeah, come on. 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And he's carrying the team.
He isn't carrying anything.
He's not carrying the team.
Those receivers are carrying for him.
I had to catch myself there. Well, yeah. I mean, that's always my thing with him. I mean, he's throwing the Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. And then he's handing the ball off to Dalvin Cook. I understand that, guys. Yeah. I understand.
Not having this conversation.
Like, think of that situation that he has. That dude literally has, like, the best situation in football to me. Isn't it?
One of them.
Like, okay, it's probably Dak Prescott, right? Dak Prescott.
That's pretty solid.
And Kirk Cousins. Who else has a top three running back?
Carolina.
Okay, no. They don't have an Adam Thielen and a Justin Jefferson, though.
Okay, that's true. I heard running back. All right, man.
I'm talking about the combination. They got a top three running back. They got a potential top five wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, which I off watching his tape this summer. I was like, and watching Kirk Cousins, that's why I kind of was off of him. Like, you have this dude that just nobody can guard him at all, and you can't get him the ball because he should have like 1,700 yards as a rookie, and that's kind of like. My thing with Kirk is, like, if I put Derek Carr on this team, or Ryan Tannehill, any of those guys, would they do
what same numbers more?
Or absolutely. More? Would they do more?
Well, potentially.
You know? Because you got to add in Dalvin Cook, too, because it's not that
bad. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, Ryan Tannehill was basically in the same situation too, and he didn't.
Tannehill's in exactly the same situation with a healthy roster.
You know, I mean, now they're just playing so good at defense. He just kind of just they're just along for the ride at this point.
Yep.
because that's a great defense, man. Those dudes are nasty. But Kirk Cousins, that's always my thing with him, man. And yeah, he's like the highest graded quarterback at PFF. But it's like, dog, who are you? He has literally the best situation around him. He even has a good line now.
Because he has Brian. I know they've made some big changes.
Yeah, he has Brian O'Neal. Yeah. He has Darisaw. He has a good line over there.
And they drafted in the first round last year a center. So like they got the beginnings of a very, very solid offense.
Yeah.
Now that they don't have a defense anymore.
Yeah, now they can't play defense.
which they completely maybe switched for him.
Maybe Kirk should have won more when he had Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen with a great defense.
Maybe interesting.
Just saying. Interesting. I don't know about you.
Interesting.
I don't know about you, Chris. But
interesting. All
right. Let's move on. Let's get to a little bit of Cam Newton came back. This is gonna be quick because I mean Cam Newton basically just ran in touchdowns. But he threw one. My bad. He did throw one.
He threw one and he ran one.
He threw one and he ran one. Right.
Threw one and he ran one.
So Cam Newton's back. I mean, he's obviously the quarterback going forward. I mean, he's
been. Yep. They're setting him up to be quarterback one for their game against Washington this week.
Chris, did you know they almost gave him a multi-year contract?
I did not know that, Marcus.
They almost gave him, but Cam said no.
Shut up. You know why? No. I bet you the money was bad in year two.
You bet? It was probably what it was.
I bet you the money was
bad. Like probably with no guarantees or something. No guarantees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But still.
He had a great game, Marcus. You know what he did?
What?
He was 3 for 4, 75%. You know how many yards he had?
Eight
passes? He had 8 yards.
But think of the touchdown percentage, bro. That's a 25% touchdown percentage. You might lead the NFL.
I mean, he did have 116.7 QB rating.
Yes.
I think that's the first time he was over 100 on a season in his entire career. Yeah. In his entire career, he's never been higher than 99.4 in 2015. I think that's the year he won the MVP.
Yes, the year he won MVP, huh? Uh-huh. And that pass rating, if you think about it, it's really not that good because he has a touchdown to interception ratio of 35-10.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 3-1 is that's where you 3.5-1, that's where you want to be in the NFL. Like you want to be 3-1.
When you calculate
passer rating. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. With your passer rating, yeah. Well, I mean, that's because his completion percentage was sub 60.
Exactly. I mean, that 2015 season is like a 1987 MVP season.
You're right. You're 100% right.
Literally. You're
100% right. You are not wrong in the slightest.
All right. Anyways. But Cam's back. That's what I think the most interesting part about the whole Cam Newton saga with the Panthers is that they were about to offer him a 2-year contract. And I know even if it wasn't guaranteed, Chris, just him signing a 2-year contract, you know, and it kind of comes back to this with me with this signing is in this quarterback class that's coming out, bro.
Not good.
It ain't good, right? I mean, Kenny Pickett is probably going to be the number one guy. And I think the only reason Kenny
Pickett. You don't think Caden Strong? You don't think it's going to be Caden Strong?
I think Strong's going to make a case. I think Strong is probably the only other second round guy, the first round guy, probably Strong at this point.
You don't think man, what's his name? Is it Willis?
He's too short. I think he's too short. He's
so what? You don't think they'll take him in the first round?
No, he's short and he's short and he's not Kyler Murray as a prospect, so he's not going first round.
Three, Marcus. All three of them are going in the first round.
You might still see Sam
go in the first round
too. Sam Howell's not going first round either.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you.
They're short, not Chris, and they're not, and they don't have the tape to make a quarterback coach or
when has that When has that ever mattered? Tell me one time that that's mattered.
Chris, there's only two guys. Okay, so first of all, we have a little recency bias with this short thing, right? Because Russell Wilson went third round. So let's remember that. Russell Wilson played quarterback better than both these guys. But
none of what you're saying is I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying, Marcus. But you were at the Senior Bowl when David Gettleman looked at a man walking out of the tunnel, and that was the reason that he took him in the first round. He took Daniel Jones in the first round because of the way that he walked out of the tunnel at the Senior Bowl.
So you remember, Chris, when we were going over the 2020 draft, and we were talking about, you know, people were trying to put, is it Tua versus Burrow, right? And we were reading that article, and scouts just brought it up to the guy, it was Justin Herbert. Like, why aren't you guys talking about Justin Herbert? And the reason is because he's 6'5", he's 36, and has a cannon, it can move. And most NFL teams, they don't like these short guys. You're going to have a Cliff Kingsbury. Like, does Kyler Murray go one if Cliff Kingsbury is not the offensive coordinator of the Cardinals? Does he go one? I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good thought process. Like, does it happen? So that's why there's no buzz, because, like, you know, and that's why Kenny Pickett over there in Pittsburgh, he's getting all the buzz because he's 6'3". He's 230. And everybody's like, man, I mean, I guess, and Katie Strong is 6'3" too. So, I mean, and there's nobody, and all the other guys are just too short, man. They're too short. And, you know, Sam Howell's been a running back all year. He really hasn't passed. He's been trying to run people over with his shoulders.
Yeah, that's true. He's Baker. He's Baker 2.0.
And then I started charting.
And he's not, Mac and Corral, he's not as actually. Good.
I actually started charting Matt Corral, and he's he has a cannon, but it's like, does he throw past 5 yards? Like, yeah, I haven't got that far, but he hasn't thrown past 5 yards yet. So you know, the offense, like, really giving you the like, is what I'm saying. Like, what are you getting? So that's why Cam Newton's almost got a 2-year contract. So I just want to explain.
Yeah, we will continue to hashtag we'll see Cam Newton, what kind of numbers he puts up, because I have a feeling it's going to be very consistent to what we saw over the last 2 years.
I don't know. I think he's going to play.
Now, Cam as a human being and as what he brings to that locker room, you know, he is going to be a breath of fresh air for that team.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to unite that team. We might see the Carolina Panthers go on a little run here.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. But
statistically and how he plays the quarterback position, it's going to be rough.
Chris, I think he's gonna play pretty well, because he has receivers now. Okay, he has receiving talent. Just because Sam Darnold couldn't do anything with it doesn't mean Cam Newton's not. So he has receiving talent. So yeah, is he going to be like the most greatest precision passer ever? No, but will DJ Moore flash. If he misses, will DJ Moore still be able to, like, turn around and make a nice catch right behind him? You know, will DJ Moore be able to catch that ball? Yeah. So we're okay.
Yeah, I mean
he has some accuracy erasers over there. He's got some accuracy erasers.
He will get the ball down the field. He'll still throw maybe 2 interceptions a game, but he won't throw 4 like Sam Darnold was. He won't throw 4 like Sam was. Yeah, man, he's gonna throw 1 to 2 interceptions.
He's got Christian McCaffrey too, bro. He's got Christian McCaffrey, so they're gonna be able to, you know,
Christian McCaffrey before.
Yeah, and he was having his best year until he got hurt.
Man, I'm telling you,
he was having his best season too.
I'm gonna pump the brakes on statistics, but I'll buy that team with cohesion and the way that they're gonna play under his leadership. I'm very, very high on the Carolina
Panthers. And he can throw on the ball, obviously. So,
well, yeah.
We talk about passing a lot. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, even last year,
that was a run play. Let's be honest. That first play that he ran was a run play.
Oh, 100%. But just like last year, I mean, even when he couldn't pass last year, they found ways to win because he could still run. So they just they beat the Chargers 45-0. I think he threw like 10 passes that game. They won 45-0. So he can still, like, even if he's having a slump, they still got McCaffrey.
No, he's very capable. He's very capable.
And they can do some stuff, you know, and especially in the red zone. I think he's in the red zone, and then inside the 5, it's basically kind of over. He's going to score, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So speaking of the Patriots, Mac Jones is balling over here, trying to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Mac Jones.
Who's trying to beat him?
All I got to say is, Chris, is long live the pocket passer. That's all I got to say.
Long live the pocket passer, right? And the guy that gets the ball out on time and on schedule, he's doing everything that Bill Belichick wants him to do and not more.
It's crazy to me because Greg Cosell – sorry, Chris. I'm sorry to cut you off. But
No. That was my statement there. He's doing everything Belichick wants him to do and not – more.
So it's just interesting to me, you know, Greg Cosell wrote this article for, I think he's filling in for Peter King. So he wrote an article about just football and, you know, football morning in America, whatever they do over there. And it was during the summer and he was talking about the pocket and he was talking about how much, you know, we how the NFL is trying to get away from it. And how king it is, and how he kind of went on a little bit of a tiny rant talking about how they were killing Mac Jones, and if the pocket is a king, then how does Tom Brady keep winning? And he didn't like really try to answer those questions. He was asking the public, like, you have to answer those questions. Like, so why does Tom Brady keep winning? Like, and if Mac Jones is going to be good, you guys are going to really feel like, basically said, you guys are going to feel really dumb, and like, look at Mac Jones. You know, and to be fair, Mac was under pressure 5 times. Okay. All right. He's only under pressure. But
that roster is pretty good. They might not have these big wide receivers, but that roster is pretty good. Defensively, they're great defensively.
Yeah.
That offensive line's put together. They can run the ball.
Yeah, man. In a league that can't stop the run. So that's why they're starting to win. they're in a league that they can't stop the run, and they're a running football team. And he is a smart. He's always was a smart guy. He's gonna make smart decisions. He's not gonna get in the way. And that's really what he's not doing right now. What he's really not doing, he's not getting in the way.
Yeah, exactly. That's all that they need him to do.
Yeah, not get in the way. He's not playing because I don't care what the PFF grade says or whatever. He's not playing elite football because if he's playing elite football,
Marcus, there are 5 games for our rookie quarterbacks that have over 100 as a passer rating. Do you know how many Mac Jones has?
Probably all 5.
He's got all 5 of them. Not another rookie quarterback has one.
Yeah, but that situation, I really feel like that's always a situation to me because I don't know. I still feel like Trevor Lawrence. I still think he.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing. Be
the
best
one at the end of the day.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
Because yeah. I think he's showing enough. The Jags are always in games.
You know what I mean? Like, he kept him in that last one.
Yeah.
Jamal Agnew going off again.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Number one receiver, Jamal Agnew.
Yeah, and it was 23-16, and maybe he didn't come through at the end, right? But would they be in that game if he wasn't a starter? Probably not.
No.
And that's the kind of thing, like, and you're kind of seeing him kind of make a team that should probably not have a win. They already have 2, you know? And he almost pulled out an upset last week. So
yes,
I mean,
he did.
Right. So
2 weeks. Well, he pulled one the week before and he almost pulled another.
Right. So and maybe it's not always pretty with him because his team's not good, but there's something to that, right? There's leadership, right? There's moxie. And I always talk about with him, like, you know, after the first game, he sat down with the team, you know, they got their butts kicked and he basically told me, like, this is going to be a long year. It's going to be like this, but we got to stick together and, you know, we're going to be a team. Mm-hmm. We got to stick together. Mm-hmm. And once I saw that, I'm like, oh, bro, he's elite. He's going to be. Those dudes are elite. You know, like some real leadership. Like, it's not like, hey guys, we suck, but hey,
yeah,
we're going to do this together. We're going to suck together. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're going to suck. We're gonna be the best, suckiest team ever. You know what I mean? So, you know, and that's the leadership that you want, and he has that. So, but Mac will get his shine. I'm sure that he's probably gonna win Offensive Rookie of the Year because I feel like the Patriots are probably gonna end up making the playoffs. And, you know,
no, they're definitely gonna make the playoffs. There's too much momentum behind them right now.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's a bad division. They'll easily be second in that division.
Yeah, right. I think they have an easy schedule coming up. Yeah, they're going to start running away with that wild card regardless.
The AFC's all bunched up too.
I know.
They're 2 games out of first place?
They're a game out of first place.
Mm. Yeah, they're making the playoffs.
I think so too. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And he's going to get all the hype, you know, going into year two. And then,
we'll see if the league figured him out at that point.
Yeah, because the thing is with senior quarterbacks. And, you know, senior quarterbacks, they come out and they always play better than the juniors. And it's, I don't know why people haven't caught on to that. Like you know, Justin Herbert, senior. You know, Mac Jones, senior. You know, you got who else? I'm trying to think of some other guys that played well. I mean, Baker Mayfield.
Wasn't Burrow a senior?
Yeah, Burrow, senior. Baker Mayfield.
Baker was a senior.
You know? Carson Wentz played well his first year, senior. I don't know if people don't catch on to that a little bit. But the thing is with seniors is, are they already done? You know, that's kind of the thing with.
Yeah. Are you getting a plateau?
Are you getting a plateau guy? You know, the same thing with like Joe Burrow, I guess how much, you know, is that.
How much better is he going to get?
Yeah. Is there like a potential there? But. I mean, if you want to win now, you draft a senior. That's kind of – is he ready to go? You know, that's the old Bill Parcells rule. Like, I need 4 years of starting, you know. All right, Chris, let's try to wrap some of this up. We got the Bucks who are struggling. We didn't even touch on
– off a bye week. I can't handle that. Struggling on a bye week after coming off a bye?
And a loss, too.
A loss, the bye, and then you lose to the Washington football team. Devastating that they lost Chase Young. I feel like that defense finally started to show up a little bit. And that's a big loss, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is a huge one. So Chris, I mean, you did mention the dinking and dunking.
Tom checked down like crazy in that game. I think Leonard Fournette had like 20 fantasy points. And 15 of it was just from catching checkdowns.
I think I won in fantasy because of him. Shout out Tom Brady for checking down. His average depth of target was 5.6. Yeah. He had one pass over 20 yards. One pass.
And that was the miscue by the defense, and Mike Williams was wide open downfield.
Yeah.
Right? Was that the only one, right?
No, this is a different one. It was at 19 yards.
So, yeah,
and he caught it.
That's probably exactly what it was, because he ran by himself for a long time with that one.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, man.
I didn't like all the checkdowns. I mean, you're coming off the bye week. It's not like that secondary is really that good right now. So.
NFL can't deal with
it. I had a red flag big time that I was waving watching checkdowns to Leonard Fournette when you got the receiving core that they have in Tampa Bay and you're only checking it down. I had a big problem with that.
I mean they're probably stopping, you know, Bruce Arians' little, you know, his crossers and his go routes. And then, you know, Tom Brady's smart. He's always gonna check it down.
Tom's very smart. I don't know. Well, they're out of sync. They're out of sorts. They're out of sync big time.
I mean, everybody figures out what Arians wants to do. I mean, Arians has been doing, he's doing the same offense since like 98. So they just changed the formations. Maybe there's probably more shotgun right now. Same concept.
Oh yeah. I would agree with that completely. That was a lot of shotgun this week.
You know,
I watched that game.
You know, in 98 when he ran it, they're under center. You know, now they're at shotgun, but it's the same concept. Mm-hmm. You know, same rules. So, you know, Ron Rivera's like, bro, I've known you since like 03, bro. So, let's you're not that hard to figure out. But I do think that's an issue. The NFL just sucks against too high right now. I don't know why these NFL and these players can't play against too high. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they are terrible. The whole NFL. I mean, that's the problem. The NFL defense is like, oh, so all you do is play too high safeties and these quarterbacks suck. And that's what we're seeing all these quarterbacks play terrible, which,
you know. I mean, I'll take it. I'll take it. For the Packers' sake, it's working out really well. I love Amos and Savage back there playing too high. Go ahead, boys. Do it all day.
And what bothers me about it, because, you know, I've been telling BDs this for a while. I'm like, why don't teams just play cover two man? And he was like, because, you know, tight ends or whatever, like, or something. And that's what everybody's doing now. and now nobody can play. Why was that at?
If it's not evident that the NFL is a passing league, because you can't get away with playing cover two man with a strong running game. You can't get away with playing cover two man with quarterbacks that can run outside the pocket. That's an easy 10, 15 every time with a Kyler Murray.
Yeah, but even like Kyler Murray's, which, I mean, if you play two man, but they're not playing like two man. So they're playing like matching two man. So there might be like a spy on Kyler, and Kyler might not even see it. Because, you know, they basically, NFL defenses have adapted to what.
Yeah.
And we're seeing they that adaption.
They're catching up.
And like
saw it in when I was at the game for the Ravens and the Dolphins. Good Lord, that Dolphins defense, they sent every cornerback possible to keep Lamar's eyes from going downfield. And that offensive line struggled badly.
Yeah.
And I'd be pissed if I was that Dolphins defense, because that was some miserable quarterback play out of Jacoby Brissett and Tua. They looked so bad at the quarterback position.
Yeah. You know, yeah. It's just so interesting to me, man, about this too high stuff. Like, what? Like, because it tripped me out, because I was looking up Derek Carr stats against too high, because I'm like, you know, the Raiders are struggling. I'm like, man, he has to be like one of the worst quarterbacks against too high. And I looked at his passer and I'm like, oh man, it's 76. That must be really low. And he ranks 15th.
Oh no. Oh wow.
And I think it's higher now. I think he's like 11th because he's at 84.
Wow.
So, Chris, that's why NFL teams are struggling, because these quarterbacks, one, you know, and it's happening to Stafford and them. It's happening to everybody. They're all playing too high. Everybody's getting in trouble, you know, and they can't play. So, I mean, when we transition to Stafford, who's not playing well either, you know. Oh. He wouldn't play the Titans, and that's what the Titans do.
41 passes this week against the Niners.
Right. And even the previous week, I mean, that's what the Titans do. The Titans, they switch back and forth. I mean, too high, boom, boom, boom. They're messing with your eyes. They're matching stuff. And the Titans are all over the place. Right. And, you know, and these quarterbacks are just struggling, bro. And it's just, that's why we're seeing quarterback play so down. Like, I don't know if, you know, next episode we might do another, you know, adjusted net yards per attempt, but those things are, nobody's over. I don't think Stafford's over 8 anymore, but he had to fall. But there's nobody over 8 anymore. Right. And like 8's like the threshold for like an elite NFL passing season. And there's nobody there. So if that tells you anything. And Russell Wilson, he fell for, like, you know, remember he was like 9.2. That dude's like,
you say he was 2. He was second.
Right. Now he's like 18th when I left the other day.
Yeah.
That was been a terrible game.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, a bad man. Game for him.
It's just great. Like every stat is down, bro. Like, except yards, but you know, it's whatever. People are just throwing like crazy. But like even like QBR, which I know you hate, Chris. I know you hate QBR. But
I do hate QBR.
There's nobody over 70, bro. Not one quarterback's over 70. Not one. That's crazy. Like usually, like last year, those like guys like 80, like top 10 was like 71. You know what I mean? Like usually an elite player is like 80 something or whatever, but there's just like, there's nobody over. That's crazy, bro. It's wild. So that's what I'm talking about. Like, the quarterback play is super down right now. Nobody's like admitting that, but these dudes need to figure it out. But like, I don't know, man. Is too high that hard for them? It's just because you got to play quarterback.
I just think that, yeah, they're not used to seeing it anymore. And the guys that are used to making these big plays they're just impatient. They're not waiting. They're not taking the little underneath stuff. They don't want to do it.
It's the Seattle defense.
They want those big plays. Everybody wants those big plays, and nobody's willing to nobody's willing to be patient enough for it.
Exactly. Yeah, because when you play too high, you have to be super patient. That's why Derek Carr was getting sacked when they started doing it, because you have to like wait a little bit for the guy to like clear safety, you know, or have enough depth where he's one-on-one with the safety. But like if you have a guy like inside the slot, you want to run a deep post on him, but you have to wait. You know what I mean? And when you throw it in the middle of the field deep, you just can't chuck it up. You know what I mean? You have to wait a little bit. You know, it's not like a go route where you kind of like just throw it up off the top of your drop. Like, you know what I mean? So it's tougher, bro. It's tough. And then if you don't want to check down, and you're like Matthew Stafford, you just throw it into traffic. Right.
Yeah. Well, everybody's trying to, he's getting killed that, you know, Beckham being on the field now is messing with him.
Like the game, like the week before didn't happen.
Right.
They had Robert Woods too.
It's like Stafford threw 41 times. Beckham was on the field for 13 pass attempts and he was targeted 3 times. Like, what about the other 38 passes? Like, what are you guys talking about?
It's narratives, bro.
Like he was only on the field for 15 plays. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. They're probably if the Rams fall apart, they're gonna blame Odell Beckham, 100%. They wouldn't even look at blame Matthew Stafford.
It's already starting, man.
He's gonna get a full on pass because for certain, like the media loves him too. And
Troy Aikman, I think Matthew now feels some pressure that maybe Baker felt. Hey, we got to get this guy involved. Like, what are you talking about? He played 15 plays. There's no pressure.
No pressure to get him involved. I mean, like, to me, with the Odell Beckham thing, you know, and this we're gonna have to show on this, but with the Odell Beckham thing, like, why won't you get him involved?
The first pass that they threw was to him, and it ended up being just a long punt. He got picked off on his first pass to Odell Beckham Jr., and it was downed inside the 5-yard line. Like, the guys are not on the same – let the guys practice together just a little. Let them develop some chemistry before you start freaking out about – it drives me nuts, Marcus. It drives me absolutely insane.
That's all the Giants did was try to get him the ball. I don't understand. Like, screens. Throw a screen to him. Screens, quick slants, you know, quick hitches.
I can't, Marcus. I mean, 15 plays, he was targeted 3 times.
So I was tripping, like Raiders fans did one. Like, what are you guys talking about? Like, he could run every route. Like, you just like, and why won't you throw him the ball? It's better than Zay Jones. I'm sure he would have not let his quarterback hang out to dry on that. You know what I mean? You know, I'm sure he would definitely would have caught. You know, I wouldn't say he would have caught, but he would have. I mean, maybe. You know. Good Lord, like he is. I mean, you should feed him. Like, I don't know. Whatever. It's like not feeding DeAndre Hopkins. I know Odell Beckham is not on that level supposedly anymore, but when you have DeAndre Hopkins, you're not gonna throw to him. I still don't understand that thought process.
It drives me nuts.
It does, because I mean, you have Davante Adams, and imagine if they didn't throw to Davante, and then Davante got mad, and then you guys were like, well, stop being a diva. We want to throw to Alan Lazard. Does that make sense in anybody's head? that's what bothers me about it. Why don't you want to throw? It's like the whole Darren Waller thing at the beginning of the year. I mean, and like, you know, Raiders fans and like the media just bitching because Darren Waller got 19 targets. I'm like, he's Darren Waller.
Why wouldn't you get him 19 targets?
Derek Carr's throwing the ball 50 times. Yeah, he should throw the 20 should go to Waller. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. I agree. Yes. Force it to him, man. Man. Anyways, guys. Any last thoughts, Chris? Any other thing you want to touch on?
Yeah, Arizona State's playing Oregon State and Arizona to finish the season. We might get that Oregon State game that you were talking about, but Utah has the same overall record. They're just ahead of us in the conference by one game. They play Oregon this week.
Okay.
Which could tie it all up. They still have the edge because they beat us in that one-on-one, Marcus.
They got to lose twice, right?
But they got to lose twice and they finish with Colorado. So hopefully Colorado's got another upset under their sleeve this year. Didn't they beat UCLA? They beat somebody this year that they shouldn't have it within the conference.
Colorado's offense is disgusting, so I doubt it.
they got two wins in the conference. That's all I know.
Yeah, we got to hope for upset. I mean, they got to beat Oregon State, which that game scares the hell out of me. I'm sorry. It always has. I hate playing in Corvallis. And, I mean, they almost pissed me off this past week, and then they woke up and they said, wait a second, we're good. And they started playing.
Like, yeah.
Their talent level.
Yeah.
It's just like, what are you guys messing around with this? Jeff, what are you guys doing? Messing around with they need to have a quarterback, and they're up in the game. I was mad. I'm like, they're changing quarterbacks like mid-game, which means they don't have a quarterback, basically. And I was like, you guys are about to lose to these guys? They don't even know who their quarterback is or who's the team leader. They don't even have a team leader. You guys are about to lose. So I appreciate them actually waking up and going on that nice little fourth quarter run they went on. So
there we go. That's all I got for you.
Because I was about to be embarrassed. All right. I want to thank you guys for listening. You know, make sure to check us out. Telling you guys, we tell you stuff, and the stuff starts happening. You know, we don't want to gloat, but you guys always give us stuff to gloat for. So
we'll remind you. Yeah,
we'll remind you. I mean, we're reminding you for about 3 years now, I feel like. So. So, you know, make sure to follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1, Instagram, ALPA_QB1, Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. You know, follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL, at QMNLs for Chris. Make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes, hit the download button on Spotify. Please check us out. You know, if you listen to Tape Don't Lie, listen to this. You can learn some other stuff about quarterbacks. So, listen to Table and I. Check this out, man. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you can learn something about another quarterback, you know, because you guys love to compare Derek Carr to people. So listen to this. And maybe you can learn whether you should be doing that.
There we go.
All right. All right. Peace, guys.